There's the Fine Young Cannibal. She Drives Me Crazy to start us off on a Friday. Happy Friday to you. Mr. PJ Gallagher.
What's the story, mister?
What is the story with you? Happy Friday to you, head.
Happy Friday to you very much, yeah. I'm glad it's here, to be honest with you.
I am too.
A weird week. Like, I felt like... I'll be honest with you. I felt like I was sort of grappling with an alligator trying to get out of bed this morning, which is unusual for me.
All this week, I've had the old sort of... Oh, you're joking. That's not the alarms.
Oh, yeah,
I've had that
yeah.
thing. Well, now, I have to say, that's the first time in a long time.
Same here.
Now,
today,
that's happened.
I only had it today now, but it's the first time in a very long time I was like,
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know why
I'm tired this week.
I don't know, there's nothing
out of the ordinary or whatever. It's just, it's
maybe
very strange.
Maybe that's why there's nothing out of the ordinary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly the reason why both of us are starting to grapple with...
It's finally getting to us. Anyway, listen, it is Friday. Hopefully you're in good form for your Friday. Whatever your weekend is compared to whatever your weekdays are, I don't know. But whatever they are, I hope they're good for you and you're looking forward to them and you're in good form and all that.
It looks like we're going to start with a bit of rain anyway.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
There you go.
Soft day and all that.
Soft day and all, yeah. James, what more would you want? Than an excuse to be hanging around.
If you need to give us a shout, 087-188-0008. Always good to hear from you. Happy Friday, folks. Birthdays on the way. Black Eyed Peas, Where's the Love? Here are classic hits. Waking Up Happy with PJ and Jim. Happy Friday to you, Friday 19th of February. And about to take on the celebrity birthdays, which, to be fair, I mean, okay, there may not have been a specific victory during the week.
No.
But you had very close calls on a lot of them.
There or thereabouts, yeah.
Your eye was in.
Me eye was in, that's fair to say, I think.
Yeah.
And it was all over.
I think a lot of these now will be right up your little particular street, right up your own little cul-de-sac.
It just sounds strange when you say it'd be right up my little particular.
Starting with, it's only the birthday of Ray Winston.
Oh, Ray Winston.
Yeah.
He's good.
Heavy. Ray Winston.
He kind of dropped off the face of the earth a little bit, didn't he, Ray Winston? He was like, he was kind of in a spate of movies.
And there's a bloke as well who, I mean, I like him too. I think he's brilliant. I love Ray Winston in anything. But again, I mean, he does. And we're finding more and more people who fit into your category of the De Niro's, where it's like, you know, no matter what Ray Winston is in, he talks like that.
Yeah, he's Ray Winston, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's
no
Ray Winston.
What. Yeah.
Which is very good.
I know.
Similar to De Niro, but you know what I mean? He is ultimately always going to be Ray Winston in something.
I know. Like, even if he was cast to play Trump in a movie, he'd still be coming out and going, all right.
This fake news is going to have to stop, right?
Fake news. Worst news in the history of the world ever. I want to tell you, I'm number one, right? Me.
Yeah.
I'm the best person that's ever lived. You got to build that wall.
Like, if he's exactly the same.
Joe, something, and I'm not even going to try and remember it now because I'll just make a mess of it. You can find it for yourself. But Danny Dyer tells a great anecdote about meeting Ray Winston.
Really?
Yeah, and absolutely planking himself.
Who was planking himself?
Danny Dyer.
Danny Dyer was planking himself meeting Ray Winston.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny Dyer is a plank anyway, isn't he? Like, he's a guy. He's like a caricature of a real human, isn't he?
Of a proper hard man.
He is,
yeah. Although I have to confess, I have a sort of soft spot for him. I kind of like him.
Yeah, he's enjoyable to watch because his daftness. Like.
It's like one of the. He's like a hard man who's kind of sort of, you know, trying to be in touch with his soft side.
I know.
I cried my eyes out. I cried like a little girl. I did.
But the things...
I don't know why I turned him into almost Australian.
I know,
there.
Yeah, yeah. A bit of a Crocodile Dundee there. But it's just this whole thing of like...
I went to Sheffield to meet the head of this firm.
Yeah.
It was really dangerous.
And then he's like, he's in a pub and this little old lady's having tea by the fire and there's one lad in his runners and there's a full camera crew. And you're like,
is that urban myth? You know the story about him doing the football hooligan thing? He did a show all about football hooligans. And like he was standing outside of some whatever Ibrox or Parkhead or somewhere,
yeah, that's...
and somebody all they shouted was "All right, Danny!" or whatever, you know. Obviously they would have done, I assume, in a Scottish accent, but anyway. And he went, "It's kicking off!
It's kicking off!"
I don't know. I think that might just.
I think
Kevin's
that might be urban myth.
Stand up, your man, the Scottish lad, the stand up boy.
Call Kevin Bridges.
Yeah. I think it might be him, but it's a great story and it does sum up what the show was about. I'm going to say that.
No, yeah. Ray Winston.
Oh, for God's sake, why always do that? Ray Winston's like 53.
He's 64.
Gee, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised at that now.
but you did the right thing going low. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Danny, Mr.
Ray Winston, great actor, hard case, 64. Right, what about this? It's Andrew's birthday today.
Andrew, Prince Andrew.
The Duke of York.
Oh, the dirty old Duke.
Andrew, Duke of York,
yes. Yeah.
My God, that was compelling viewing.
Wasn't it?
That
interview.
That, what was it? Panorama, Newsnight or something.
It was the most bizarre interview ever.
We know he doesn't sweat. That's good to know.
Like Ray Winston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't sweat. He has a condition. He doesn't sweat. I'd say Danny Dyer doesn't sweat anymore after he came face to face with Ray Winston as well.
Yeah, the trauma of it all. Yeah. Wasn't it the maddest thing ever?
Oh.
An Argentinian shot at him. And it gave him such a fright, he stopped sweating for the rest of his life. It's the most bizarre.
All around that Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Yeah. I remember, you know you're in trouble if your PR guru, who you've been paying hundreds of thousands a year, says, if you do this, I'm leaving my job. And he goes, no, trust me, I've got this.
Yes. I was in the forces, you know. I can handle this.
You must be thinking, no, everyone around you tells you what you want to hear. I'm telling you.
Trust me, this is a bad idea. Not at all. You don't understand.
You silly man. Wait till you see me pull the media around my little finger. I got to say, he's like in his 60s now.
Yeah.
64.
61.
Is he?
61 he is.
Remember, he was the young lad. I remember when he was the young Prince Marion. Fergie,
and he was the playboy prince.
Yeah, he was.
Back in the day, of that grouping of the Charlie and all that.
Charlie was the
ridiculous looking thing, yeah.
You know, the heir to
the
throne.
Other lad was just a kid that nobody really paid much attention to. What's his name even? Edward, is it?
What? There's a third one.
Isn't there? There's another brother, isn't there?
Is there? I didn't know that. I had no idea. What does he be doing?
Very little, obviously. He stays out of the way. He probably looks at Charles and Andrew and goes, my God, I'll tell you something. I'm not going down that road.
Hanging out with Ray Winston now, having a sack of cans.
Exactly. That'd be amazing. Right, Andrew, Duke of York, 61. What about Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
What do you mean? How dare you pause? Jeff, of Dumb and Dumber fame.
Jeepers, of course. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of Jeff Bridges
He's a lot better an actor than he gets credit for.
Much better. It's because he does silly movies.
Yeah, he's been in some great stuff, though. And can I remember the name of any of them now?
No, not at all. I was the same. I was doing that thing in my head. Yes. And a complete blank slate coming up. But yeah. I know you're right. That's the thing. I do know you're right.
He's been great in lots of stuff that I can't think of at the moment.
Isn't it pretty?
Other than Dumb and Dumber.
Do you know what you sound like there? You sound like a fella who doesn't know out about football.
Yeah.
Did you see the game last night? I did. What do you think of Fernandez? Oh, I thought.
It was a thing to watch.
It was, yeah, a lunatic of defence, I thought. I thought he was a lunatic of defence. It was brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Like that thing from the IT crowd, or the IT crowd.
Yes, exactly like that.
You know, the Arsenal, they always try and walk it in.
What a terrible display, or whatever it was. I got to say, what is he? Oh, what's his name again?
Jeff Daniels.
That's him. Oh, jeepers, this
is literally,
going,
I mean, Dumb and Dumber, they should be our icons.
Yeah, well, considering going by the way we are with Jeff Daniels, it feels like they based the characters on us. I gotta say he's 58.
66.
For God's sake. Is he really?
Yeah. And there, I actually thought that was one that was going to be a good one for you. I thought you'd be a massive Jeff Daniels fan.
Well, I'd say I am, but I don't know anything he's ever done. I do know I like him, though.
Best fan ever. Yeah. Oh, I'm a massive fan. Don't know anything about him. Massive fan. Right, what about this one? Benicio del Toro.
Oh, him, yeah. He's a very good looking man.
Yeah.
He's a very good looking man.
The thing about it is he. You know what I get? I'm going to fess up to this. So I look at that and I go, Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the same as Benito del Toro that I hear people say?
I've never heard. Is there two of them?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's not. It's just people pronouncing it differently,
It must be. Yeah, it has to be.
Thank God for that.
Unless somebody now says that one of them's a very, very famous singer or something. But I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's just a mispronunciation or whatever.
Yeah, it must be.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Anyway, wait a minute. Which one is Steven Seagal? Which one? Benicio del Toro. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's your man that was in
Usual Suspects and all that, and
that's him. I was thinking of Ricky Martin, and I couldn't, and I kept.
Oh, for the love of God!
That's what I was thinking.
Ricky
of.
Martin.
Yeah, I was thinking. She bangs. Yeah, baby, and she moves. She moves.
Oh my God! So not even another actor. Not even your man. Guillermo, whatever his name is, or anything like
that. Well, that's why Steven Seagal's or Steven Seagal's name kept coming into my head, because I kind of knew there was an acting reference there somewhere, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So now,
oh my
yeah.
God, do you know what the brilliant irony of this is? Benicio del Toro is the guy from the Heineken ads, isn't he? Who actually sends himself up for being mistaken.
Oh, is he?
For Zorro. What's Zorro's name again? Antonio Banderas.
Oh, there's another one. This is getting more confusing as we go on. There's a lot of these lads, isn't there?
But Benicio del Toro, he's the serious, like, he's the proper, you know, like, he's the Ray Winston of Puerto Rican acting.
Is he? I thought he's the real deal. Who's Puss in Boots then?
Puss in Boots is Antonio Banderas.
Are you sure that
wasn't
him? Yes. Really?
And it's certainly not Ricky Martin.
I think you might be wrong. I'll have to...
Help me!
Okay.
Help me!
Steven Seagal is...
I'm being held!
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. Where the hell did Steven Seagal come into it?
Because I knew there was a sort of a Latin American actoring influence somewhere, but I couldn't sort of put my hand on it.
Where's Steven Seagal's Latin American related thing?
Is he not Mexican or something?
Steven Seagal?
Yeah. Is he not? No, does he not? Maybe it's just the plastic surgery made him look Mexican or something. Is that what it was?
I have no idea.
I thought he was sort of Latino influenced in some way. Is he not?
I'm going to cry.
I thought he was like a Mexican ninja.
Oh my God. Right. So, Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro. I mean, obviously, I haven't got a clue. 53.
Oh my God, so close. 54.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew him. 54.
Right, okay, we better squeeze these last couple in. Couple of kind of curveballs, but not really. Big, big names. Smokey Robinson, of course. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Tears of a Clown and...
Yeah, he's not a young man.
No, very much so.
I know very little about him either. 77.
81.
Oh, God.
And Leslie Ash. Do you remember Leslie Ash?
I used to love Leslie Ash from Quadrophenia and everything.
And Men Behaving Badly. And, of course, the original Trout Pout.
The original Trout Pout, yeah. She wrecked it, though, remember? She got the new face. Remember, she got the new mouth.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Isn't she the one who spawned that Trout Pout thing?
Oh, yeah.
The big lips thing.
Oh, my God. She was so good. Sorry.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Why did she want to interfere with her face?
She was like Antonio Banderas, and he got...
Trying to be Benicio del Toro.
Trying to be Steven Seagal. That's what it was like. And you were kept going, why did you do that? You were look so well.
Oh,
and he was like, because I'm making my list, but I thought the team beat him. She wrecked herself. I felt terrible when that happened, yeah.
Right.
But I gotta say, Leslie Ash is like, she was in Quadrophenia, 61.
Yes! Well done, you got the trout to finish.
Finally, a trout finish. I finished on a trout.
And you're up to date on the home of the Niall Boylan Show, weekdays from 12. This is Ireland's Classic Hits.
Thank you kindly, Tara, and... Why did that happen?
See, there was a
built-in delay.
I saw that, yeah.
That was really weird. I pressed the button and it went, no, okay, well, now I will.
Yeah, it's like, wait for it. Boom.
Anyway, happy Friday.
A bit like the week, happy Friday.
Yeah, it is.
Wait for it and boom.
I know, the week, yeah, it did sort of drag its arse a bit, didn't it?
And then I sort of thought today was Thursday and it's Friday, so that made
me that's always cool.
That is brilliant. That's like finding money in your pocket.
It is. And then I also realised the date. It's the 19th of February today.
Okay, I'm missing this somewhere.
Well, I mean, it's just psychologically, we're nearly at the 20th of February.
True.
You know, that's a 20 number. That's getting towards the end of the month. It's the shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
And it's just psychologically, okay, we nearly have a
another
month
one down.
On. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right, though. When you see the 20s in it, and then, like, if you get a day like yesterday, where you can see the bit of sun, and you actually feel a bit of sun on your face when you're, you know, going out to be grumbly. Oh, my God, it was brilliant.
It was. It was
going
stunning.
Out to be grumbly. You set out to be grumbly.
Yeah.
Don't wait for me. I'm just going out I'm going to grumble at people for a while.
Do you know what it was? It was a lovely day and all. I was there, I was trying to look at the positive sides. And you know, you sit there with your man and all, she's going, did you pay the insurance of the thing? I did, yeah. Oh, you better pay that. And did you pay the other thing that they look at? There's a lot of letters coming there.
You thought, I need to go out and grumble a bit.
You haven't opened those bank letters now for about 6 days. I'm like, oh, gee, I'm going out to be grumbly. And it was actually lovely. It was lovely outside.
Brilliant. You come to work to be grumbly as well, though.
I do, but it's much more therapy.
This is more therapy, grumpy. Because
for him, not for us.
Exactly.
Exactly. I get to give it to Jim, and he walks out the door with the weight of the world on his shoulders, and I feel brilliant after.
Well, let me give you some more reasons to be grumbly then, because it's going to lash for the weekend. So that beautiful sunshine that we saw yesterday and the day before, forget about it.
You're quite literally raining on our parade.
Yeah, if he can be grumbly, I can be grumbly too.
Well, okay. this is just lovely. Wake up, happy. How are you? I tell you,
I'm just glad you are here to carry the load. Jim, that's all I'm saying.
It's probably my fault anyway. Oasis, whatever. Here are Classic Hits. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Friday, 19th of February. 087-188-0008 if you need to give us a shout about anything, whatever's going on for you. Loads of WhatsApps in already. Thank you for all the happy Friday wishes right back at you. Much appreciated. Hopefully it's going to be a good one for you. Mind you, there is one person who's a bit upset, PJ.
Yeah?
Trevor Bass.
Trevor Bass
is upset that he didn't feature in the celebrity birthdays. Oh. Now, you may say, what makes Trevor Bass famous and a celebrity? I'd have to say to you, I don't know. I think he just thinks he's more important than he maybe is.
Well, happy birthday anyway, Mr. Bass.
He didn't tell us how old he is, just that it's his birthday. And he didn't tell us what he's famous for or why he's a celebrity.
But he's just letting us know he is.
He is. He's just very upset that I didn't feature in the celebrity birthdays, lads.
Wouldn't you love an ounce of that confidence going into your life, wouldn't you?
Oh, it'd be brilliant.
Imagine waking up.
Page of that'll do you the world of good.
Imagine just waking up and thinking, I can't believe the radio hasn't mentioned me yet. I'd love an ounce of that confidence.
Let me see. Somebody reckons. Who's this now? Let me just check who this is. Aiden reckons that was the best birthday section ever. While somebody else wants to know, are you two doing the drunk on air experiment?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately,
I think, to be fair, that followed the whole Benicio del Toro debacle.
Yeah.
That ended up dragging in people like Steven Seagal.
Well, it's just is Steven Seagal not have any Latino in him? I still haven't managed to find time to find that out.
To be fair, you couldn't have chosen a more mad person, really.
Yeah, he's a nutter,
Isn't he the one who declared himself God?
Something like that, yeah. And then he's got
a god,
and he has all this reputation of being like unbearable on set to deal with and everything. Like he's supposed to be a bit of an egomaniac, and I think he knows he's a bit batty.
Yeah,
didn't he?
And he's also even among that whole sort of like action sort of stuff, he's like the worst one. He's like the Roger Moore of.
Take that back.
You know what I mean? Like you've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you've. You know, you've got all... Well, actually, no, to be fair, I suppose he's not as bad as Dolph Lundgren. But you know what I mean?
Although Dolph is good. In the last Rocky movie, Dolph is good because he's allowed to come out of himself a little bit. He's allowed to be more human.
He's allowed to actually act or something.
Yeah, he's allowed to act for a change.
Yeah.
But call it, how dare you compare the great Roger Moore.
Paddy has been on to say that apparently he's American, Steven Seagal, but with some sort of... He also holds Russian citizenship.
Does he?
Yeah.
This man is bizarre.
So we're just moving further away from your...
We're getting further... So there's literally nothing Latino about Steven Seagal at all.
Not to the most people's knowledge, no.
How did I think that?
I've no idea.
I haven't a clue either. I don't even know that. And how I confused him with Anthony Del Toro. Antonio Del Toro. Whatever his name is, I have no idea.
Were you thinking of... What's the other guy? What's the Guillermo...
Guillermo del Toro. Bellissimo. No, Guillermo.
Is that who you were confusing with? Benicio del Toro. Maybe.
I guess so. There's about five of them in Hollywood and they're very similar. They even dress alike. They all wear that Versace gear and all. You know? Although I confused him with the cat.
I'll tell you something. Yeah. To be fair, whatever about confusing Benicio del Toro with the likes of, say, Antonio Banderas or... Guillermo, whoever, we can't remember his name. And even at a stretch, Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
But Steven Seagal, man.
I know.
Even by your standards.
I know, it's unforgivable. It's ridiculous. Even by my standards, that was ludicrous. I understand. I'm not trying to justify this at all by any chance. Can I just say, I'm not trying to justify what happened in my brain there about a half an hour ago. I don't think it's justifiable at all.
We're just trying to move on from it.
I'm just trying to accept that it happened.
Come here, Anne-Marie has been on. She says, hi, BJ and Jim. Supposed to be getting married tomorrow. Obviously not happening now.
Oh, fart.
Shout out to the wonderful man, Damien, that is going to put up with me for the rest of his days. We listen every morning. Thanks for keeping us sane. So Anne-Marie and Damien, What's that? Happy nearly wedding
happy
day.
Happy nearly there day.
Yeah. Happy nearly wedding day, not happening day.
When one day... I'm sick of people saying that. One day soon. No. It's a pain. I'm sorry it didn't happen for you today. But yeah. But
that's unfortunate.
Have a good day anyway.
Listen, I'll tell you what is happening today. Of course, it is going to be the Hitbit in about an hour's time. And we have been trying to pressurise Mike. He has said that people have come close on the Hitbit. The clue big is out there. Normally when the clue goes out there, it's a very short period of time before it's won. This one has continued to last, which has surprised everybody. But Mike says people have come very close, and it is a song that's been played multiple times on the station since the Hitbit was announced. So 087-188-0008, let Magic Mike know if you want to play for the Hitbit in an hour. I think it's, what are we round, would we go for 1,100 quid?
Yeah, well, let's do 1,100 quid. Okay. Yeah, it's a much better idea.
Let's do 1,100 quid on the Hitbit. And of course, a whole host of classic hits, goodies, the hoodie, the ugly mug, all that sort of stuff up for grabs on the Breakfast Table Quiz. Final day for that. Still looking for somebody to top the 13 mark. And what is tickling your particular funny bone, Mr. PJ Gallagher, today?
Quite a lot. Why do people get bitten by mosquitoes more often than other people?
Right.
There's a fella who was so upset with his family that he was on the run and he handed himself in because he'd rather be on the run than in lockdown with his family. I think we can all sympathise with
him. Was that you, was
it? No. Thankfully, I haven't broken the law
right,
yet.
Yes.
There's loads going on, yeah. And the Dolly Parton statue, that isn't going to happen.
Right.
Why? Well, you'll have to make your own mind up there.
Yeah, is it for gravity? No, let's... Yeah, okay, right. We'll talk about that later. 087-188-0008. Yeah, George Michael and Faith here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy Friday to you. We've rounded up the hit bit on this Happy Friday. We've rounded it up to 1,100 euro. That's what we're going to play for before the hour is out. Magic Mike is standing by if you want to get involved. 087-188-0008. Let him know you want to play. And we mentioned just before 7 o'clock, of course, that there is a story... that the great Dolly Parton was about to get a statue in her honour.
Indeed.
You'd imagine that's a good thing for anybody.
Absolutely a great thing for anyone.
But she said no.
She said no. She said no because Dolly Parton just can't stop being the best human being on earth over the last few years. Every time you hear news about Dolly Parton, it's always because she's done something fantastic.
Right.
So she told Dolly Parton, she is Dolly Parton. She told Tennessee lawmakers that she doesn't want a statue erected to her at the Tennessee Capitol because they proposed it early in the year because of her contributions to the state, you know, and to the arts and everything else. Country music being what it is, her being the icon that she is. And they said it would be a fitting thing to have outside the Ryman Auditorium. And throughout her career, it's become something of a second home because she's like, I suppose she owns it. I mean, you can't go to Tennessee and not think of Dolly
Parton. Nashville, of course, is the home of country music and Nashville, Tennessee and whatever. I don't know where she's originally from herself, though.
She's Tennessee, but I don't know.
She is as well.
Yeah, but I don't know where. I don't know, like, you know. Yeah. Anyway, but Elvis basically is only a has-been compared to Dolly Parton. So she released this statement, and in her statement she says, it sounds, reading Dolly Parton in a Dublin accent sounds like an awful thing. I want to thank the Tennessee legislature. She said, for the consideration and the bill of to the Capitol grounds. But she says, given all that's going on in the world, I don't think putting me in a pedestal is appropriate at this time. I do hope that it's somewhere down the road in several years, perhaps after I'm gone, if you still feel like I deserve it, then I'm certain I will stand proud in our great state capital as a grateful Tennessean.
Wow. That is unusual. Turning down a statue. Although, I suppose the other side of it is that maybe she was kind of looking at the various statues that's been done around the world. Maybe she saw Ronaldo's one and went, oh my God. And then she saw, what's that one down in Limerick or somewhere? Isn't there somebody was meant to be Terry Wogan but looked like somebody else? Or there was,
it's meant to be Terry Wogan. Who is it? It looks like Jerry Ryan. Is that the one? I don't know.
You know, maybe there's a few of them, and she might have looked at a few of the Luke Kelly ones and thought, well, if they're going to keep doing that to us.
Or let's face it, maybe she heard about Molly Malone and College Green and thought, ah, come here. You know, they have the poor old brass knockers rubbed off Molly Malone. That's the thing, you see.
There is also that. I mean, fair play to the people in the Tennessee Council or whatever it is that proposed it. I mean, I wonder, did they propose it before they spoke to structural engineers
and say,
about how are we going to make this balance?
Sure, even Molly Malone, they need the one in Dublin in College Green or off College Green now, it needs a wheelbarrow to keep it upright.
Yeah, the purpose of the wheelbarrow was really just to give it a bit of balance.
Every tourist in Dublin,
something to lean on.
Yeah, they jump up on her back and they'd be, ah, it's disgraceful what people do.
Yeah. And with Dolly Parton's one, you probably have to, I don't know. Would you? You'd have to put it against a wall or something, or put her leaning, maybe.
Or a bassoon, or some sort of instrument holding herself up,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, she'd have to lean on a guitar or something, just to stop her toppling forward.
A drum kit, like you'd have to have her playing the drums or something, you know. And it's everything sort, you know.
And then, of course, as you say, you know, there's the whole thing that's developed with Molly Malone about, you know, having a rub for luck.
The tourists and
there's
all
the famous bull in New York. The people do the same thing. They rub the undercarriage for
luck. They rub the undercarriage of the bull for luck.
So you can only imagine every visitor to Nashville
will be doing...
They'd have them worn down.
They would.
And they'd be back to normal by the end of it
they
all.
They would. All them old cowboys would be dying for a you know. And as well, now, what's happened with this story is... what's happened is she's turned down the statue, right?
Yeah.
And now there's this movement of people that have turned up, and what they're saying is, well... If ever there was somebody more deserving of a statue, it's somebody who is so non-egotistical that they would turn down a statue. So the movement to have the statue built is now stronger than ever. Because they're saying...
So the secret to getting a statue is to say, look, no, I don't want the statue.
Yeah, I don't deserve it. I don't want the statue.
So
it's not right to spend
public
money.
That's going to be your campaign. Will we go on that then? Will we launch your campaign? Ladies and gentlemen of Ireland, PJ Gallagher does not want a statue.
No.
So please... You know, you shouldn't be constantly bombarding your TDs and your local representatives and everything.
Or even having a private fund or setting up a GoFundMe
or anything like that. Yeah, don't start any sort of Facebook group or something raising money for PJ Gallagher's statue. He said he doesn't want it because he's such a selfless human being.
Yeah.
He just wants to give back to the world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might think, well, my God, if anybody deserved a statue, it's a man who says that. But
I don't want it. Even if it didn't cost taxpayer anything, and you all saved up a private money, and you lobbied the local council or the local councillors, and Lord Mayor Hazel Chu, who can be contacted at the Mansion House at any stage, even if you did all of that,
even if it's for a man who read stories for the homeless at Christmas, and stuff.
I don't want to list out.
Even if it would only cost everybody in Ireland, probably, you know, my God, I mean, less than a euro, less than maybe 50 cent from every person in Ireland would probably be enough to build it.
You wouldn't notice it. But it wouldn't be right. Please don't do that now. That'd be an awful thing to do.
Yeah.
Mind you, if they did build a statue for me, here's me slagging off what they'd be doing to the Molly Malone statue. All the feckers to do here is put me with a big bag of stolen underpants in the middle of O'Connell Street.
That would be it.
Yeah.
For luck, you had to go up and rub PJ's underpants. Oh, that's a horrible idea. Ultra Natte and Free here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for all of the WhatsApps, 087-188-0008. Few responses to the whole discussion about the statue and Dolly Parton turning down the statue. And indeed your good self, PJ, saying, look, no, don't. I know you want to give me a statue.
Don't do it.
Stop
bugging me about it.
Yeah, so the Lily White's been on. Let's put this in kind of quotes, if you know what I mean. Jim saying, PJ doesn't want a statue. The rest of Ireland saying, grand, fair enough.
All right then. I hear you. If you want to be that brutal about it.
Somebody else says, good choice, Jim. No PJ statue. Not as many children having nightmares.
That's a very good point as well.
Although, you see, Elaine and Tala, she's gone a different route. She thinks a statue with the dirty Elwin on Thomas Street would be fantastic.
I'd love that now. I'll be honest with you.
Can you imagine that, though, if you were immortalised, right?
Yeah.
So you think the idea of a statue, forever and ever, people would know the name of PJ Gallagher. For generations to come, there would be embodied in bronze or whatever it would be.
Embodied in bronze.
And all that. And imagine if it was done and it was done as one of your characters.
It'd be better
and
off.
You were embodied as... A dirty owl with a scrunchy up face and a dirty overcoat.
Yeah, walking around and some lad running away and like a bunch of little fellas running off away from you. I know. Press a button on her back and she goes, "Sorry,
that could be interesting.
We need more interactive statues.
Also, let me just check who this is. David has shared a picture of that statue you were talking about in Limerick, the one that's meant to be
Terry Wogan.
Terry Wogan.
Yeah.
It's not a good likeness,
it's
I'm sorry.
Not. It honestly doesn't look like it. It looks a bit like Jerry Ryan. It looks more like Jerry Ryan than Terry Wogan.
Do you think?
I think so, yeah.
I'm not that sure Jerry Ryan would be that happy with it either.
Do you not think? Yeah, well, it looks like Jerry Ryan with a funny haircut or something.
And also, on the idea that, you know the way, if your statue did get erected, that maybe it would be a special thing in relation to your underpants. Do you know what I mean? That, like, say, if they rubbed the Molly Malone's frontage,
yes,
and you know the bull's undercarriage and all that sort of stuff. That your lucky rub would be your underpants.
The underpants.
And Northside Tony just wants to know: would they be your own underpants, though, or would you have stolen them from another statue?
Yeah.
Ireland's classic hits.
REM, shiny, happy people. Happy Friday to you. Could be a very happy Friday if you get your hands on our €1,100. €1,100 could be yours this very day. If you can tell us what the hit bit is. Magic Mike standing by. Final call to play. 087-188-0008. As PJ said earlier, don't give him your guess. Just let him know that you want to have a go. You think you have it cracked. 087-188-0008. Now, as I say, happy Friday. Heading into the weekend, of course. And, you know, I accept, as we have said earlier on and many times, you know, for a lot of people, you know, the weekend isn't that different from their weekdays. It's a very strange time. I get it, you know, and you can't maybe necessarily look forward to the weekend the way you used to look forward to it in terms of the things you plan to do and all that. But I think there are still positives about the weekend. Like, for example, for me, one of the big positives of the weekend is not having to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
And there,
having a bit of a lie-in.
In lies your problem, Jim. That's what's wrong with you.
Can a man not have a bit of a rest? At the weekend, PJ.
He can. If he cares nothing about his own health, he can.
Oh!
Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm dicing with death, am I, at the weekend?
You're dicing with death. Having a lie-in at the weekend when you're used to getting up early all week, and let's face it, we are very used to getting up early. In fact, Jim gets up so early, I'd say he gets up late. That's how early he gets up.
Jim gets up the day before.
Jim literally gets up the day before he has to go to work. So, do you know what I mean? If you do it all week and then you have a lie-in in the weekend, it can affect your mood, it can bring in make you miserable is what it can do. It can increase bad moods even if you do it on a Monday morning if you had a lie-in on a Sunday morning, so you can carry it over into the week with you. Lie-ins, Jim, you're going to love this, are bad for your health. End of story.
Oh, no.
They're bad for your health. They've done this study.
So you're saying that for me to be healthy, I have to continue to get up at 4:30 on a Saturday and Sunday?
Exactly.
Oh,
it'll
my
do you the
God.
World of good. It'll do you the, well, look at me, I get up
can
at the
you
same
imagine
time.
The mood I'd be in if I came into you on a Monday having gotten up at 4:30 on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, you'd be like riding a unicorn, rainbows coming out of your ears with happiness. That's how you'd be. You'd be there going,
I don't think so.
I haven't slept so well. You'd be saying it was great. I went to bed at 7 o'clock.
I mean, because I do sort of do that tapering thing, right?
What's
now, I know
that,
you're
though?
Fairly disciplined, to be fair to you, but I do that sort of tapering thing. So, for example, I know on the Sunday.
This is a great insight, by the way, into how your mind works.
I know,
I'm
yes.
looking forward to this.
Ridiculous is what it is. But I do that thing where on a Sunday, like, say, for example, on a Saturday, if I did lie on, right?
Yeah.
And it got to, depends, whatever. If it did get on to, oh my God,
3
you know,
in the evening or something.
No, like 10 o'clock or something.
Oh God.
Which is basically the afternoon
That's
for you, I know.
Dinner time.
But on the Sunday, if I wake, I won't do the lie on. Do you know what I mean? Because on the Sunday, it's in my head that I have to work backwards, that I'm going to go to bed early that night because I have to get up so early the next morning. So I won't. But it still wouldn't be 4:30. I mean, if I wake, what I'm saying is,
if you won't,
you know,
clean,
I might get
time.
Up at... I might get up at 8, maybe, or 8:30.
Oh, my God. Lunchtime! Oh, my God. Oh, it's no wonder you come in like thunder on a Monday. You can
excuse me.
You can hear Jim walking up the stairs.
Yeah, it's like the theme from Jaws plays.
That's your alarm clock. I'm messing. Jim has actually never, very rarely comes in a bad mood. At least no more than the rest of us. That's for sure.
But it is that is kind of weird though. So that's the secret. Because in fairness, you've said that before. That from a health point of view. Or it's not specifically, from a specific sleep point of view, if you want to try and get good sleep on the go, you have to be consistent.
You have to be consistent. That's why I'm like a weirdo. That's why I will play within an hour either side, but that's it.
Right.
Like, so I'm talking late night now. It's Friday night. I'm
so you're up at like before 6 at weekends?
Yeah. Well, like around 6 now. Yeah.
Oh my
around,
God.
Like, I wouldn't be later than that, Jabez. Now, I haven't got all day to do nothing, you know. I haven't got all day to do nothing.
That's amazing. So, your day is over by noon.
Yeah. Yeah, noon, I've done everything I want to do. That's why I don't feel hard done by then come 8 o'clock when I feel tired and want to go to bed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What
are the weekends like at 6 o'clock in the morning?
They're very much like the rest of the week. There's not a lot of people around, you know.
Right.
It's good, you know. You wake up and you look out the window and you might go for a run or something. You'd be surprised how many weirdos there are out running at that time. And everyone's very friendly at that time of the weekend.
Yeah,
I'd say that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't...
It's like your own little private early club.
Yeah, if you go out for a walk or anything. Because I suppose when you're out, there's only two people on the road. And you can see each other coming sometimes for half an hour. So it'd be weird if you finally got to each other and you went... You ignored each other. You know, you have to go, I saw you coming there, you have to say. I was looking at you for a while there. Good morning. And he'd go, yeah, you wouldn't want to wake up like Jim. Ha ha ha, he said it. Get a night's sleep.
But God. What qualifies as a lie-in then? Is it based on your normal sleep patterns or is it a time of day?
On your normal sleep patterns.
No.
So if you're
this is not good news.
You should go to bed ideally the same time and ideally wake up the same time every morning. And then it has the recommendations of how much sleep you should get at what age and when you need to get it. So like it has school age is 6 to 13 years old. You have to sleep 9 to 11 hours a night. Teens, 14 to 17, they're supposed to sleep 8 to 10 hours. Young adults, 7 to 9 hours. Adults, 26 to 64, 7 to 9 hours. And then people in your age, Grange, Jim, it sort of says, you know, basically as much as you can get.
So people in my age range, it says, try and stay awake.
Yeah, it says, enjoy your life while you can, it says. That's what it says there.
That's unbelievable.
Do you
tell you something though?
Maybe your sleep isn't the problem. In fact, maybe it's the person you're working with.
Do you know what the flaw in that whole argument is, right? You can talk all about kind of, you know, your sleep patterns and your, you know, and all this kind of stuff and your personal health and all that. Carry on. Tell you what that doesn't factor in. Doesn't factor in a partner. Because I can tell you something. If you want to talk about my health, right?
Yeah.
If I turned around and I said to Yvonne, right, that's it now. I'm afraid we're going to have to get up at 4:30 Saturdays and Sundays. I'll tell you something. I wouldn't have to worry about what my heart or my lungs are be doing.
It'd be
the smack of a massive thing in the back of the head.
Well, I find that very unreasonable, that somebody wouldn't want to support you and get up at 4 o'clock every morning. Hip it. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it? Oh God, that was a bit nasal. I didn't really, wasn't myself today.
You were drumming that up from somewhere deep.
I was, yeah. It was too deep. See, I keep trying to go up high.
Yeah.
And then I realise I haven't got the vocal range and it disappoints me. You know?
It disappoints you?
It disappoints me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you keep living. One of these days. I'm suddenly going to wake up with the voice of a soprano.
Definitely. On one of these, you'll see. So it is 1,090 quid.
If you ever wake up with the voice of a soprano, it'll probably be, what you talking about?
Yeah.
Sorry, bad joke. Right, moving swiftly on.
1,090 quid is what it says in the machine, but we're going to do 1,100 euro. Why not? Be mad not to. Here's what it sounds like. And Anita Murphy is going to play first. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, there.
Good morning to you.
You better show me that money. I'm running out of ideas.
You're running out of ideas as to what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where are you that you're coming up with these ideas?
I'm in Ballyfermot.
Right, you're in Ballyfermot. Good stuff. Right, so mad for the money in Ballyfermot this morning.
That's the way to have it. Anita, go for it then. Take the cash. What are you thinking?
I think it's 50 cents, Big Rich Town.
50 cents? Jesus. I wasn't expecting that for some reason.
I don't know
reason.
Him at all. Not her. I haven't a clue about him.
I just wasn't expecting that. Are you a big 50 Cent fan, Anita?
No, I just have no idea, really.
Yeah, right. She just
this is just you clutching at straws, Anita, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big as big in it. I'm going with the big.
That's it. Go big or go home, as the man would say. Right, what are you going for, Mike? What's the story with a bit of 50 Cent?
Okay, not an artist we play frequently on Classic Hits. However... you're very welcome to the club of people who have guessed so far, Anita. But this time you're wrong, unfortunately.
No! I'm going to find out where you live, Mike.
That's
I'm
it. That's why you know, that's why he moved to the west, Anita, to try and evade all the people hunting him down. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
Happy Friday, Anita. Oh, cheers.
Take care. Niamh Bourne waiting patiently. How are you, Niamh?
I'm good. How are you?
Not so bad, Niamh. Thanks a million. The feet are a bit sore and I got a fly bite in the face yesterday. You may have heard.
Oh, my God. He never misses an opportunity, Niamh, to have a good old whinge.
Where are you, Niamh?
I'm in Ringsend.
Oh, good stuff. How are you feeling today?
I'm great. Marvellous. Okay. Depends on whether I win this. I might go back to bed for a lie on if I don't.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, it'll go either way. You'll either go back to bed to celebrate or go back for a lie down depressed.
No, I'll go out for a walk to celebrate.
Good for you.
Stay away from them lions or you'll end up like Jim McCabe. I'm telling you, the free
There's bad. Nothing wrong with me!
Niamh, have a go there. We'll try and give you some money. What do you think?
I think it's Toto Africa.
Good one.
Right. God, I haven't heard that in ages as well. That's good tune. Right. What about that, Mike?
No, no for Toto, I'm afraid.
Oh, sorry about that, Niamh.
No, but okay.
Happy Friday to you anyway, Niamh. Take care of yourself, yeah?
All right.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye.
A million. Bye-bye. Right, thank you, Michael. It means, of course, that it's up to Niall Boylan to try and give it away at half one today.
Half one. He'll have a 1,090 quid for you, but I'm sure you can scab the extra tenner off him. He's generous like that.
ABBA and Waterloo, the song that started it all for them, of course. Happy Friday to you. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Hopefully you're in good form on this Friday, 19th of February. A bit later this hour, of course, final day of this week's Breakfast Table Quiz. Whole host of fabulous classic hits goodies. The classic hits hoodie. We got the PJ and Jim ugly mug. I'm sure there'll be a few bits and bobs. Get yourself a very cool trolley token.
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing better than that.
No self-respecting supermarket goer goes without a Classic Hits trolley token.
Sure, not in this world.
Yeah, and I sincerely hope you drive to wherever it is you do your shopping with a Classic Hits air freshener hanging out of your mirror.
And I found if you pull the strings on the hoodie as tight as you can until just your eye sticks out, you've got a perfect face mask.
There you go. It's all you could possibly want. A whole host of Classic Hits stuff up for grabs on the Breakfast Table Quiz this week. Still a score of 13 to beat. Now, I tell you, there are happy Fridays, right? And then there are happy Fridays because PJ Gallagher may be experiencing or about to experience following this story that he's found one of truly the greatest happy Fridays he's ever had. This appears to be almost like a gift from the gods for PJ.
Jim McCabe, a company called Herclion.
Herclion.
Yeah, they already.
How manly is that?
They already sell these bed sheets that you don't have to wash for months at a time. Months at a time. They stay fresh smelling and they stay, they kill bacteria and all this sort of crack and whatever. Who even cares about the bed sheets? I'm just saying that's something they sell already.
Okay.
As of next week, you can go onto their website and they write, "We believe the future of clothing is laundry free. And we're excited to lead this human race towards a cleaner, more eco-friendly, less time-wasting way of life. So, with the launch of our new underpants, you do not have to clean ever. An exciting new dawn begins." So if you don't ever want to wash your underpants again,
non-washing underpants.
Underpants that wash themselves, Jim. What? Underpants that wash themselves.
Wash themselves.
That you can wear day in and day out without having to worry about sticking them in the laundry. They already do shirts and socks and they'd even do a hat you can wear over and over again. And no matter whose smelly head it was on, you can sniff it and it smells perfect.
Oh, I say, how can that even happen? You're saying they currently do socks and shirts and everything.
Yeah.
That never ever need to be washed.
You don't need to wash them. You don't need to wash them. They will never smell bad and they will eat bacteria. That's what they say. All of their products, including the underwear, are made with this Herc fiber material. And they claim it does all these things. And under jocks are on the way. Next week, they're going to have the new underpants. They can even block the sun, man. They have UV fighting properties.
They can block the sun.
They can block the dangerous rays from the sun, these underpants.
Why? Have your man areas been ever kind of under threat from the sun?
No, but I get burnt bad on my neck. And if I knew I had a pair of jocks on, I could just run into the toilet, take them off, wrap them around my neck like a miniature staff. Yeah.
Or give yourself a wedgie and pull them right up the back, up
right
to your neck.
And put me head over under them, then that I would be protected from the sun.
Incredible.
I'm just saying, Jim, the new dawn is here. It is the most exciting time of our lives. If I get a pair of these, I'll never need to rob another pair of underpants again as long as I live.
And
there's us
thinking this was a terrible time for humanity, what with global pandemics and all that. Little did we know it's actually a true glorious time.
This is
the future of non-washing underpants is being born.
It's born next week. Come on, we have to get a pair of these.
Come on, Jim. I'm just struggling to believe in it. You're saying that literally you could put a pair of underpants on, wear them every day for God knows how long, maybe forever, and they'll never need to be washed or cleaned in any way, shape or form.
It's made from Herc fibre.
What if you have accidents or anything?
Well, look, they say, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, or in a non-accidental sense.
Yeah, but like, you know, men have all sorts of, they're a bit casual about their approaches to.
So if you say, if you sat on a crayon or something, is that what you're saying? Or you sat on a puddle of orange juice and you ended up with a stain, is that what you're kind of
mean? Well, let's go with your versions, yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. I think in that case, they say, Herc Leon, the company say, yes, it is fine to wash them if you need to. That's no problem.
Right.
That these things, of course, being the unburstable underpants of the new generation, that they can fight off the washing machine as easy as they can fight off what may or may not happen to them in the real world.
My God, these are the hobnobs of underpants. I mean, you could, it doesn't matter what you do with them, you could dunk them as often as you like and they'll never give in. They'll never break.
And what I love about this is, you know the way algorithms work on Google, that you look up one story and then you get ads recommended?
Yeah.
Well, I've just realised here, I'm looking at this story here and it talks about this company and Herc Leon and underpants you can put on once and never wash again. And right beside it, there's a Victoria's Secret model that's come up as an ad. And if they can come up, if Victoria's Secret can come up with lingerie you never need to wash, I think you're on to a winner there.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you got to that stage with a close friend.
Yeah, and then
it was like, oh my God, your lingerie is amazing. Yeah, I've been wearing this now, believe it or not, for about the last 8 years. Oh, yeah, you've spoiled the mood now. Sorry, it's all gone.
I'd be like, tell me more. Are you saying if you didn't meet someone of the opposite persuasion and you were with them and they were like, and you're saying if you didn't like that, one of my best, I'd be a chat up line for me. I'd be walking up to people going, see them jocks sticking out the back of my jeans there? See them? 6 years. Haven't washed them. Wore them every day. Every day. Go on, smell them there. Go on, take a sniff. They smell like the day that personal automatic was invented. Literally the finest smelling 6 year old worn everyday underpants on the planet, I'd say.
Wow.
What woman wouldn't
get a future we have in store for us.
What woman wouldn't get weak at the knees at the thought of me never changing me underpants?
Tell me again how long you're wearing them, PJ.
Going on 7 years, 3 months.
Huey Lewis in the news, stuck with you here at Classic Hits. Glad to be. Happy Friday to you. Thank you so much for letting us hang out with you on your Friday, folks. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. A few responses on WhatsApp, 087-188-0008 to that story, PJ. The story that you think is the greatest dawn of human invention.
It's fantastic.
The invention, the availability of jocks underwear that apparently you never, ever, ever, ever have to wash.
I thought I was doing well washing the same seven pairs of pennies jocks for 17 years. It turns out this is even better still.
Extraordinary. Now, the reaction has kind of split along gender lines, right? This probably won't come as a surprise.
Right, let me guess. The lads all want to wash their trousers, is that right?
Not quite. The response from people like Margaret is, that is just disgusting. Somebody else saying, what are you talking about? Right,
and talking about? This is real, by the way. I'm looking at their website right
somebody
now.
Somebody calling themselves people hater. PJ, what are you talking about? I change the bed linen every 3 days in all beds of the house, and of course my knickers daily. Well, seriously, like I'm nearly after dropping my cuppa.
Well, if you add up all the time you've wasted doing that, all you needed was one set of sheets, one pair of knickers, and then you could have got a lifetime out of them. A lifetime.
Joe's been on to say, oh my good God, that's disgusting. Now, the weird thing about it is, right, there was also, I should mention, the sort of middle ground of people who want to know, would the fact that you could have a pair of jocks and have them forever, right?
Yeah.
Without even having to wash them, would that stop you stealing?
Oh, for God's sake. It's just never going to end.
It's never going to end.
I mean, we're going on 2.5 years since the unfortunate incident of the miss of stolen pants that were stolen by accident. And I'm still getting it like this.
So there's various things like that. PJ washes everybody else's underpants bar his own, but all this kind of stuff is happening. And also, but
can I just say, I do wash my underpants. I would just like to not have to. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, somebody else is claiming fell on it, saying it sounds like the Emperor's new clothes, the jocks version. In other words, a non-believer. That you could ever have a pair of jocks that you never, ever, ever have to wash.
No, you don't have to, no.
There you go. And then there's the male response to it. And this is summed up perfectly. This is the most male response, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, let me just see if I can give credit where this is due, right, to this person. This is Philip. has been on to say that he thinks the jocks would be absolutely amazing. But not because then necessarily they'd be jocks that you just don't have to wash. He says this could be great because there's plenty of bacteria in a fella's under regions and the pants could clean them. So not only is Philip hoping that he never has to wash his underwear again, he's hoping just by wearing them, it'll clean his nether regions for him.
That's gas, isn't it? The way some people's brains... So he's thinking, I'll wear the jocks all day, I'll take them off going to bed, and I'll rub them under my armpits and all, and that'll sort me right. I won't even have to have a shower again.
Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is...
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Kilmartin Educational Services. In class or online, learn and revise safely and get ahead with Julie's CKES.ie.
Final day, we know exactly what the target is for today. If you want to be a winner on the Breakfast Table Quiz this week, we need 14 correct answers in the 60 seconds. Otherwise, our top score at the moment, I'm not sure who has our top score at the moment. I know it's 13. I don't know who the player is, though. But anyway, that'll be the score that scoops all of the Classic Hits goodies, the Classic Hits hoodie, the PJ&G Ugly Mug, and all the other bits and bobs. So who's going to play, PJ?
It's Derek who's on 13 at the moment.
Okay.
And it's Dez Boogie who's going to play today to try and knock him off his perch. How are you, Dez?
All right, PJ. How's it going?
Not too bad at all. Where are you, Dez?
I'm in Dunstores in Blessington in County Wicklow.
Oh, hey, what have you? You couldn't be in a better spot, Des. Couldn't be in a better spot.
You're having a laugh there, Jimmy.
And what's it like? Is it busy at the moment?
Well, no, I'm outside the front door because I couldn't really take the phone call in the shop floor. But it's
naturally
it's cats and dogs out here.
Is it?
Lucky enough, I'm here with the fake tan just to make sure that the people of Wicklow look like unbelievable again.
Brilliant. I tell you something, so Duns and Blessington's in for a treat when you walk in the door.
Yeah, well, they do tend to brace themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
They're inside now. They're inside Duns, putting the word out among all the staff.
Yeah. I believe it. The manager going, Colin Yates is a dub, so he's a... He look after
so you don't need it. So what you're saying is you don't need a translator, is it?
Well, yeah, true enough. Yeah. Well, I have to slow down when I talk to the Wicklow people because they're mountain people, you know.
Yeah, that's
the same real level, you know.
Ain't that the truth? I see one every day here. This, I do.
How very dare you?
Yeah, well, you can take the boy out of English, but you can never take the English out of the boy. So, you know, Kildown and Rose.
Oh dear.
I have a great time. Apparently you're so Wicklow yourself they don't even call it a full body tan up there, they call it a full boogie tan.
Right, come on, let's try and guess, because the only thing that would complement Des's tan better would be
a score of 14.
Would be a hoodie, because nothing matches that beautiful orange better than a nice bit of purple on the outside.
Yeah, oh, I tell you,
he'd look like a twirl.
Oh yeah, that sounds excellent.
Right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock, 14 the score we need. Des Boogie, the best of luck, here we go.
Appetite for Destruction was an album by what band?
No idea, Pat.
Guns N' Roses. Derry Clark is best known for what profession?
Derry Clark, no idea, chef.
Yeah. The historic Route 66 runs from Illinois to what coastal state of the US?
California.
Yeah, the ex-Premier League footballer Janinho is from what country?
Brazil.
What sort of instrument would it normally be played or be made by a horologist?
Horologist? No idea, Pat.
It's a watch. Finish this command. Sign on the dotted what?
Lion.
Quidditch is a game featured in what series of books?
Quidditch. No idea, Pat.
Harry Potter. The South African city of Durban overlooks what ocean?
The Pacific Ocean.
It's the Indian. The Kremlin and St. Basil's Cathedral are in what Moscow square?
Red Square.
The Bernabeu Stadium is the home of what Spanish football
Real
club?
Real Madrid.
When You Wish Upon a Star was the award winning song from what Disney film?
No idea, Pat.
Pinocchio, Robert De Niro and Ray Liotta star in which Scorsese movie about the Mafia?
Goodfellas.
That's
yes,
the one.
Yes, well
one.
Done. Well done. Right, okay.
PJ, it's very hard to understand you.
I know.
Me off of my accent. I tell you something else. You want to put her on Airtel page 888 to understand what you're saying there. That was immediately impossible. Yeah. You know, when people are slagging me, I know what I mean.
I was stuttering a little bit, Jay, as a fairness. Yeah.
The best part of that was where Des taught you.
I came out into the quiet so I could hear you clearly, and that's. I wasted my time there.
I tell you, the best part was when Des thought you said Jerry Clark is famous for what profession?
I think
he's an electrician.
Yeah, I should have had it. Last time I was on, I got 12 and I had a cup of coffee beforehand and I kind of kicked in and I got a buzz out. So maybe I should have done that.
That's the secret, buddy. That's the secret going forward.
Send me out the hoodie, lads. Would you?
Oh, come on.
He didn't win the flipping hoodie, you maniac.
God loves a tryer. Get off, you chancer. Get off, you chancer. Unbelievable.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
Dr. Alban, of course, Sing Hallelujah here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. 087-188-0008 if you need to give us a shout at any stage. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you're in good form. Thanks for letting us hang out with you. We've already had the story, of course, of PJ's greatest ever invention, or at least he's discovered what he felt was the greatest ever invention.
Definitely.
Could alter his life. And now it appears that something else appears to have fallen into his hands, because regular listeners to the show will know that, you know, PJ is very comfortable in his own company. And, you know, if he does have to kind of, you know, have other people around him, he'd prefer to pick and choose them, like.
Well, you know, as the song goes, Jim, do you know where hell is? Hell is in hello. Heaven is goodbye forever. It's time for me to go. That's the way the song Wandering Star goes.
Yeah, and in fairness, you've applied that over the years to, you know, various factions in your life.
I think
so. Including your family.
And I have to say, I maybe share something in common with this fella. So this guy, it's the same over in England. Socialising outside your household has been banned, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for this fella, anyway, he was over in Sussex and it all got a bit too much, you know, hanging out with the family every day. No change of scenery, listening to the same voices. So he rang the police in Burgess Hill. It turns out he was a fugitive. And he rang the police and he says, listen, I'm going to hand myself in. He goes, my name is... Darren Taylor's the name of the policeman.
Right.
He says, my name is this and you'll know that I'm supposed to be wearing a tag. I broke it off and I'm coming down to the police station now. He says, I'd much rather go to jail than spend one more minute with these bloody people I'm living with, he said.
Oh my God. Yeah, so he was on the run.
Yeah.
For whatever crime from way back.
Whatever.
Had managed to evade the police.
Yeah.
And just decided voluntarily.
Lockdown happened.
Just.
And over the last year he's going, I can't handle it. I cannot handle it. So when he went to the police station, Darren Taylor, the policeman, said to him, so why have you decided to hand yourself in now? Why are you decided you're going to go to prison? And he says, honestly, for the peace and quiet. He said, for the peace. He wants to go for the peace and quiet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How bad does your home life have to be that prison is a better option?
He says, honestly, he said, the guy went handed himself in and said, I'd rather go back to prison than spend more time with those people I live with. Those bloody people were driving me insane. Once in custody and heading back to spend some time on his own, the police asked him how he felt about it now that he'd handed himself in. And he says, honestly, so far, it's been a huge relief. So
wow.
he's overwhelmed with happiness that he's been locked in a box with someone he doesn't know, I presume. I doubt he has a cell to himself,
yeah.
Even though that's what he would have loved. But it just goes to show you. Like, I mean, not, I feel like this fella, maybe he's a criminal and all, but I feel like I have a lot in common with him. I understand the penance.
Yeah. Well, obviously the criminal tendency, you've got that in common for starters.
Oh, I never robbed a pants on purpose. I never robbed him on purpose.
But, I mean, you could, if you wanted to, if things do get too bad, you could turn that to your advantage. I mean, at this stage now, we've spoken about it so much that most of the nation would probably act as a witness.
To shop me in.
You know what I mean? So if you did decide, like, that the family life of lockdown is getting just too much for you, then, and you did decide, like, you know something, I'd do anything for a bit of peace and quiet, and you wanted to kind of, like, fess up to the police that you are responsible for thievery.
The problem is there'll be a backlog now because I'll go up to Store Street Garda Station after having read this story out, won't I? I'll go in and say, I want to hand myself in. And you say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait. We have a load of people claiming the same crimes that we know they couldn't have possibly done. Apparently every one of them wants a week away.
There'll be people walking up to Garda Stations going, have you a list of unsolved crimes there? Sorry, what? What's on your list of unsolved crimes? Well, there's... There's a break in here.
That was me.
I did that. I did that. Put me away. Slap the handcuffs on.
And that's all you
How
have to
soon
know.
Can you get me to prison? It's just that the mother-in-law is planning to ring later on.
Any unsolved murders? That was me as well.